This is Here Now the News. I'm Jerry Barmash. While there is good news as a handful of drug manufacturers are closing in on bringing a vaccine to market and showing promising efficacy data, there is still a serious hurdle to jump as coronavirus cases are skyrocketing from coast to coast. New York is trying to stave off another wave like the one the city saw in the spring, taking residents into the abyss of the pandemic. Not everyone is hurting physically from COVID. It has been especially hard on small businesses as governments wrestle with public health and the economy. Today's episode focuses on two such establishments, the family-owned Strand Bookstore in Greenwich Village. It is in its third generation, but struggling to stay afloat, losing 70% of its revenue since the virus hit. Proprietor Nancy Wyden is my first guest. We'll talk about how the Strand, a fixture in the community for a century, is fighting on, finding creative ways to stay solvent. Then I'll be joined by Colm Kerwin, manager at the Jeffrey Bar and Restaurant in Midtown East. He's dealing with a new round of closures that threaten to jeopardize the pub's future. The COVID situation has really been wreaking havoc with small businesses. And one of those is, I'm not ashamed to say, iconic in New York. I'm joined with Nancy Wyden. She is the proprietor, the owner of The Strand. The bookstore has been in business for really nearly a century. First of all, thanks for being with me today.
Thank you, Jerry. Thanks for reaching out and hearing my story.
No, absolutely. I saw you had posted on Twitter a letter, and really, it's sad when you just get down to it. The situation, you have lost revenue that has been, I mean, the company has been hemorrhaging, really. I mean, what was it, 70% of your revenue you've lost since the coronavirus?
Yeah, 70% of sales, with no end in sight, too, with this corona situation. 8 months of this. I feel for, and I'm not the only one. It's other independent bookstores, it's other independent businesses. I'm all no favorite dry cleaner or restaurant, and all of a sudden we're hit with closed signs. I realized I was in I was in trouble in September. I thought things were going to get better. The Strand is in the Village. We're on 12th Street and Broadway is our main location, and I we're surrounded by schools, and I thought they're all coming back in September, and with that will be the families and the offices a little bit. But I was very surprised that that was not the case. And we lost even more money in September. So I decided to, I felt like very alone in this situation. And I decided, why don't I just reach out to my community, to my friends, to our shoppers, and see if they will just help to try to boost the sales numbers up. Because we're a tourist designation. 70% of our business was from people nationally and internationally coming to see the Strand. We were providing 400 events, in-store events a year, sometimes on multiple floors, and that's down to zero. So no tourists, no in-store events, people even uptown not wanting to come downtown. So that's why our sales were so high. Heavily affected.
And you thought that once you got to September and you said as schools started to open up, you would start, and you do see, I know the president, not to turn this political, but the president has said that New York is a ghost town, and it's not. I mean, it really, a lot of people, not the tourists, obviously, because most states are on those travel restrictions, so they're not coming to New York, and obviously other countries, they're not coming by and large to New York. But the city is more active. There's outdoor dining. There's, the schools are reopening, but that has not made a dent.
Yeah, a lot of people have not returned to their offices. Museums are not at full capacities. I mean, the libraries aren't even open. A lot of the schools are Zoom schools, so families are at their second home. So really a lot of the city has not returned. But you're right, it's active on the streets. It's not a ghost town. There's the restaurants are doing lots of business outdoors, but it's just not the same.
So what happens next? You got money from the federal government, right?
Right. I got a PPP loan. That only goes so far. I had reserves. But we've gone through that. We went through all the PPP money that we could. And I'm at this point, inflection point, what do I do?
Are you hoping to get more money from the government?
I mean, that would be great. I don't see why, I'm, you know, there should be more stimulus out there. There should be unemployment, more unemployment stimulus. There should be more PPP money. It should last until the end of this pandemic. We shouldn't have to feel like we're all alone.
Can you make it? And I know we're going to talk about what you're, you know, you're trying to get the as many customers to get in there as possible. But can you manage without getting government stimulus?
Well, we're after I reached out to the public with this letter, the response was overwhelming. I mean, we were hit with a tidal wave of absolute love. Our internet crashed because we, over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, we got 25,000 orders. That's just not books. Those are individual orders. And then we've had Saturday and Sunday, there were lines down the block from Broadway to Fourth Avenue. People didn't mind waiting. So it's just been amazing. I know my grandpa and my dad would be looking down on this and just felt, you know, so happy with the turnout. The store, I know we didn't really talk about it, but the store was founded by my family in 1927.
Yeah, I wanted to bring that up.
My grandfather's, yeah. Benjamin Bass, was passed on to my dad and then on to me. And that we were part of the legendary Fourth Avenue booksellers. They were, at one time or another, there were 48 used booksellers along Fourth Avenue, and were the last of the Mohegans of that group. So we're, since 1927, we've been through the Depression, we've been through two world wars, we've been through 9/11, and then we've been through all the changes and iterations in the book world, ebooks, big box stores, Amazons. We were fine with all of that, but this COVID has really just stopped us in our tracks.
It really is, and again, as you said, it is not unique to you and to small businesses.
So that's why I went on.
It's devastating. I'm sorry. We're using the Zoom. If you're, you know, you're listening here, we have an issue with that, but that's okay. We have a good picture here, so that's more important.
And I'm also hoping, you know, by reaching out to is that this was a success story for us. You know, I'm going to take it day by day. We have so much, web orders to fulfill right now. I'm so grateful, and we're all hustling here to get them out. But I'm hoping that other bookstores and independent businesses will reach out to their community.
What's your timetable now? I mean, how long can you sustain, or how long do you need funds from the public? What are you looking at in the short term?
Well, we're good for right now. I'm going to take it day by day. I mean, I think it's going to, I hope we'll continue to get love beyond the holidays, but I'll just have to see, and I'll communicate with our customers with what we need. You know, we've of course tried to be creative. We've pivoted toward, we were so based on foot traffic. We've pivoted to online. As much as we can, we've gotten more gifty offerings. For instance, we have book hookups. You can do you can choose 8 categories and have it's a subscription box sent to you quarterly. We have our rare book expert. I'm in the rare book room right now. For a $250 gift card, you can spend a half an hour with him, and you can go and buy books from us. Or you can bring in your books and I'll have it appraised, or he can just teach you about rare books. We're also doing a monthly book kind of club where we're going to send you a book every month, or you can give it as a gift. We have we have somebody that just designs libraries, a whole team of people for homes, and they're offering it as gifts. So, and we've had 21 people just even this weekend where you can buy up to a foot of books. They'll curate it to whatever you want, if you list a certain look or whatever type of books you want. So we're offering things that we've never offered before.
It's great. I mean, and I was thinking, I said sad, and obviously the situation is that you're losing so much, but really when you're seeing this outpouring from the community, it has to really warm you.
So heartwarming. I am so grateful. Oh my gosh. And you know, I knew that it would touch some people, because whenever I go to parties or I meet people, they have a Strand story, whether it's they knew my dad or my grandpa, or they remember the bookstores on Fourth Avenue, or they found a magical book, maybe a signed copy of Durant, or they were at an event here where they actually met Gloria Steinem or Patti Smith and got their picture taken with them or got a hug from them, or they've gone on the first date at the Strand. I met somebody at a cocktail party, and she got engaged here in the Rare Book Room. We didn't even know that. Her husband gave her a first edition of Lolita and got down on one knee. So it's more than a bookstore. I mean, it's a community center. It's a place of discovery. I think it's emotional because it's a family-run business, and it's been around, and it's a part of Fabric for 93 years. And that's why I think it's really important that we, you know, everybody support these businesses that are different in their various cities, because we don't want everything, just all the cities to become homo, just the same, you know, just to become everybody, you know, there's a Sephora in Singapore, you know, we need to have the fabric of these cities are these individual mom and pop shops, independent stores, unique places.
Right. Even though I'm New York based, I figured so many people will know the Strand across the country, and those who don't know it will, there's a Strand probably, you know, across the country that is probably looking for help as well.
Roman's in California, Tattered yeah. Book Cover in Colorado, Pals in Portland, Greenlight in Brooklyn. I mean, so many right. that, you know, where the owners, or, you know, you feel just a part of this. And I think, you know, now it's really a game of who has the cash reserves, and the big businesses and the chain stores have the cash reserves. And then when the pandemic is over with, who are we going to need? We're going to need to get away from our technology. We're going to need a community. We're going to need to walk to places that are unusual.
Are you worried, you said when it's over, are you worried that now we're starting to see things retreating, going backwards in New York?
Yeah, we're all worried. The levels are spiking up. We're at 50% capacity in the store, and, you know, we've made it everything as safe as we can, as a safe shopping experience. So that's, it's been a, you know, and of course that's, you know, all these small businesses, we've had to put in resources to make that safer.
I wish you well, and you know, we're going to get this out there. So you know, anything we can do to spread the word, we'll do that for you.
Thank you, Jerry. Those are people running around with carts of books to get our web orders out. So we're hard at work, and I'm just so grateful to all the bibliophiles and New Yorkers and book lovers, and even, you know, people have been buying books from us internationally. So thank you all, and thanks for your continuous support.
To get more information on The Strand, go to strandbooks.com.
Ahead, my conversation with Colm Kerwin, who runs the Jeffrey Bar in Midtown Manhattan. Joining me right now is Colm Kerwin. He is a manager at the Jeffrey. That is a bar restaurant on the Upper East Side. And we have quite a bit to talk about with the latest with COVID restrictions. Colm, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
So we're recording this on Wednesday, November 18th. Hardest part for me is remembering what day of the week it is and what the date is. But aside from that, as we record this, last week, I believe, Governor Cuomo made some new
restrictions as the COVID numbers are creeping up, not only in New York City, but across the state. And that means that bars and restaurants have to close at 10 p.m. For patrons, for customers. What does that mean for you right now?
It's not good. we're still trying to figure out what exactly it means. It's been only a week or so since we found this out, but we're going to try and proceed, just adapt like we have done with every other mandate that's come down over the past 8 months or so. But there's no getting around the fact that it does restrict our business. It's taking away 2 hours of business that we could be conducting. And there's also, which it might not affect that many other people, but they have restricted the to-go and alcohol for delivery aspect as well, which greatly affects us too. That was a large part of our business at the moment, was delivering food and alcohol. So yeah, it's not good, but we'll see how it goes.
So for those who are not in the New York area, there is indoor dining up until this point, until 10, for those establishments. And it is at 50% capacity?
25%.
25. Okay, so the city is still at 25%. Other areas, Long Island, are at 50%. Does this move to the 10 p.m. closure, as we're talking about? For you, it's 2 hours early. Do you think that makes a difference in terms of reducing the spread of COVID?
I don't believe so. And actually, just it's worth noting as well that Cuomo clarified a couple of days later that people have to be gone by 10 p.m. So essentially, you gotta stop taking orders at 9:15 or 9:30. Before, when it was midnight closing, they allowed an extra half hour for patrons to finish their food and drinks. So essentially, they've taken 2.5 hours rather than 2 hours, if you know what I mean.
Right.
But yeah, it's 25%, and in the week that we've had to kind of get used to this new world, I personally don't think it makes a big difference. Whether we serve till 10 p.m. or whether we serve till 12. I mean, if you're implementing the social distancing guidelines and screening people when they come in and doing all the things you're meant to do, then I don't see how 2 hours makes a difference. But that's our business. It could differ from in a different establishment, but frankly, I don't see how.
Right. I mean, if you're doing that already earlier in the evening, those other hours, a lot of people would say wouldn't really make the difference. Would you have preferred, you would still be losing, but would you have preferred if they just shut outright for maybe a day or not, or a day or two, or a night or two?
That's a tough question, but I don't think so. No, I would rather stay open 7 days a week and, as many hours as we can.
Sure.
And like I said, we've proven that, we've been inspected and they haven't found we're conducting our business responsibly, and we're, tracking for we're taking the names and the tracing, contact tracing information that we're required to do. I would prefer to stay open every day, but there's no real winner in those picking one or the other,
Right. It's all hypothetical. So as we said, the bar, the restaurant closes for the public by 10. Mm-hmm. And you have to stop serving obviously before then so that they're out at 10, but you could still have deliveries and people can still pick up.
Yep. You can offer food for pickup, no alcohol, which they were, they notably clarified that, because earlier in the year, there was, people could come up and grab a drink and, take it to the local park, or, there's a large apartment building a couple of doors down from us, and they have kind of a forecourt area where, some patrons would, sit out there in the late summer, but yeah, essentially they've just limited it to food for pickup or delivery.
And how long is that for those same 2 hours?
I mean, as far as I'm aware, that's indefinite, you know.
But I mean, is it until midnight? Like, you would have been open until midnight? So is that for takeout and delivery?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I mean, for us, like I said, they've curtailed the alcohol delivery aspect. So for us, I don't think we're going to proceed with delivering much past 11 p.m.,
okay,
which is when we delivered before. Okay. But, you know, I mean, we're going to have to adapt and try new things and see what works for us, you know. If it makes sense, if the numbers work that we deliver later on and the demand is there, obviously we'll do it, you know.
You seem to be taking this in stride. I mean, I've heard from either directly or from other people or elsewhere, when they have to have any of these restrictions and closures, they really get frustrated and annoyed at the governor, you know, for hurting their economy, hurting their bottom line. You seem to be taking it a little, dealing with it, like I said, in stride.
Outwardly, perhaps. No, I mean, look, I'm on board with, you know, flattening the curve and stopping the spread. I mean, if that's what it takes, then I'm on board with it. You know, I do wish there was more support from the powers that be for small businesses. You know, I mean, it is tough, and you know, the more we can operate, the more people we can employ. But you know, if it is for the greater good, and you know, I'm on board with it. And like I said, we've been thrown so many curveballs over the past, you know, 10 months or so, that, you know, this is just another one that we never get used to it, but we're
yeah. You know. Are you, so with all those curveballs, I mean, where are you now? Are you growing from this?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been a humbling experience for an operator, that's for sure. And you know, I think there's definitely upsides to it. We've become, I feel like there's a sense of togetherness in New York City, in Midtown East, where we're located, you know. I consider us to be more than just a bar. We're well established in the neighborhood now, but you know, the people that come by, and restaurant workers or hospital workers, and you know, it's hard to articulate, but I do feel that we've grown kind of as a community from this. So that is one upside. We're having conversations that with people that we wouldn't otherwise, and you know, it's people are a lot more considerate of each other and asking how they're doing and their family and whatnot. So yeah, I mean, from a business aspect, we're not growing, of course. But I like to think, and I think we might have mentioned this a few months ago when we spoke, that you know, our whole goal was to be there for our neighborhood and our community, and you know, when times do pick up, you know, obviously we hope that people remember that, you know.
Right. And that was, yeah, we spoke previously, and that was, I think we spoke early on in April, I believe. And obviously, and here we are seven months later. Yeah, something like that.
Feels like yesterday.
Well, I can't remember, like, you know, like who won the Oscars, you know, in February. It's like, that was this year, Parasite won. It seemed a million years ago. Obviously, with these restrictions, we're seeing those numbers going up. And even though there's a lot of good news on the vaccine front, that's still several months away for wide usage for the general public. Is there concern as we're now moving certainly into the holidays, which is a big time for the city, for establishments, for bars, restaurants, and then going into the new year? Is there concern? Is there a point where you run out of money and you would have to close?
Yeah, I mean, definitely there is concerns, you know. I think everybody, even the places that were doing well in the summertime, you know, with the nice weather, I mean, it's getting chilly now. So I don't care who you are, you know, everyone has concerns. And, you know, I personally feel like an entire indoor shutdown is inevitable, at least temporarily. So we're kind of steeling ourselves for that. I don't, you know, we're not considering closing at this point. I think we're just kind of the mindset to make it to springtime, and you know, we can expand our outdoor seating again, and you know, we'll see. Like I said, you know, we figure out what numbers work best and how we can adapt our business model and, you know, go from there. But closure is not an option right now for sure.
Right. You mentioned about the outdoor dining. Were you doing that? And do you still have that? Is that an option as it's getting colder?
It is, yeah. Now we have a limited amount of seating on the in front of our bar. It's actually it's a bus lane, which prohibits us from putting like a more solid structure out in the street, you know, like a lot of other places have. But you know, we've been making do, and actually both our neighbors, and again another upside to this is that we've, you know, have a more of a solidarity with the other businesses on our street. So neighbors to the left and right of us have been very obliging and allowing us to use the sidewalk in front of their space too, which has been very helpful.
A lot of community feel.
Right. And, you know, I mean, there's also the aspect that no matter how comfortable it is inside and how many precautions you take, there's still a large part of our customer base that don't want to go inside under any circumstances. So, you know, those people are willing to brave the colder weather outside to put on an extra layer or gloves or whatever, you know. So, yeah, we fully expect to have people seated outside throughout, no matter how cold it is.
But how many is that? You said it's a limited amount of seats.
Yeah, so we have 18 seats out front. And actually, like I mentioned, the two businesses, one of them is a dog daycare and the other is a bike store. So they kind of close at normal hours, you know, 6, 7 p.m. And after that, we've been putting tables out in front of their storefronts too, which, you know, swells our capacity up to 30-something seats, you know.
So does that hurt your business as well? Because as we're getting colder and a lot of people only want to stay outside? Are you seeing that as well? Yeah.
100%, yeah. I think I'm pretty sure I speak for every business owner with every bar or restaurant owner has those same concerns. You know, I mean, there is heating, you know, and we've invested in some heaters and electrical and gas heaters and stuff, you know, so we'll do our best to make it as comfortable as possible for people that do choose to sit up front. But yeah, there's no getting around it, whether it's cold or not. I mean, you still have the wind and the rain and snow and whatnot to contend with too, you know?
Right. I mean, I've seen it where you have, like, for the larger one, the diners where they have the bigger parking lots, and they've set up the tents and the plastic, and then now they've moved into heaters. But some of them have just closed outright and just closed that option off. That I guess they didn't want to invest in the heater. I think Long Island is at 50%. The city is still at 25%. But this could all change in the coming weeks. You can't go lower than 25%. I guess that would be a closure.
Yeah, I mean, our establishment's pretty small as it is. You know, we have we can see 18 people based on the 25% capacity. So, I mean, you do the math. You know, you know, how are you gonna have someone in the kitchen and someone, you know,
right
upstairs? And you know, it's just I can't imagine that would work out well. You know.
For additional premium content from this interview, head to my Patreon page. There you'll get special access as a patron. Thanks for your support and listening. If you'd like to leave a comment, find me on Twitter at Jerry Barnash, the Hear Now the News Facebook page, or email hearnowthenewsjb@gmail.com. Next time, a different look at the COVID crisis, specifically nursing homes where tens of thousands died across the country. I'll talk to Fox News' Janice Dean, who has made it her personal mission to bash New York Governor Andrew Cuomo for how he handled patients in those long-term facilities. Dean's in-laws died of COVID early in the pandemic. Thanks again for listening to Hear Now the News. I'm Jerry Barnash.